Tess Tammuz, Monday the 17th of June, Rabbi Elazar Stefanski, the non-profit.
Good morning. Thanks very much for asking me to come. When you go to yeshiva in the Musar Seder, they often recommend that you learn Mesilas Yesharim. And you look at the introduction of and we see the Brayso of Pinchas Ben Yair, and there you go through all the stages which you need to go through. And eventually, if you go through all the prokim, you're meant to eventually reach the Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh. Zrizos, Zahiros, Nikios, Chasidos. And it's very difficult. It's not easy. And to eventually reach Ruach HaKodesh, how many people have got past the first chapter, let alone succeeded in completing all the tasks required in order to reach Nevius? And we find in this week's Sedra an amazing thing. We find that Bilam was a Navi. How could it be that Bilam was a Navi? Did he go through the whole Mesilas Yesharim stage by stage? He didn't pass any of the tests. His midas were terrible. He was a Baal Gaiva. He said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Balak ben Tzipor Melech Moav Sholach Alai, Ke'ilu, I'm a big shot. He had a tremendous taiva for mommy. Says in Yitain Li Bullock Malay Besa Malay Besa Kesev is up. He wanted money. He was mushchis in arayos. We see where he said Haskein Hiskanti about his the Chamor said to him Haskein Hiskanti, and the Chazal says from Lashon of Seichenes that he used to lay with his Chamor. So how can a person like that be a Novi? So Chazal answered. Rashi tells us that the Umas Oilem had a taina. Had we had a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have been, he would have been Machzor to Tshuva, and we would have been so wonderful. So it's no big deal about Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said, fine. Is that so? I'll make a Navi amongst the nations, and we'll see. So basically, he had a pass. In other words, he was able to bypass all the requirements in order to become a Navi, and he was granted to be a Navi. He didn't have to go through any of the stages. He didn't have to learn Mesilas Yesharim, nothing. But the problem is, even so, it's so difficult to understand. The Pasuk says, at the end, Moshe's epitaph, it says, "Kom Navi Oid B'Yisrael K'Moshe," that there would never be a Navi amongst Israel like Moshe. And Chazal say, B'Yisrael, it's a deal. Dafka B'Yisrael, there wouldn't be a Navi like Moshe. But amongst the Umas Ha'olam, there would be, and that was Bilam. And some of Farshim say that Pshat is that Bilam was an even greater Navi than Moshe. And how could it be? How could it be that somebody so moshkus could be an even greater Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu? There's an episode in Tanakh, very interesting episode in Tanakh. There was a king called Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the first really big Baal Tshuva in history. And Yoshiyahu was a grandson of the wicked King Menashe. And in the time of King Menashe, the Avodah Zorah was put in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was the Avodah Zorah everywhere in Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael had mamish gone down a madrega to the extent that Yoshiyahu Novi had never seen a Sefer Torah. 18 years into his rule, they ordered that they do reparations, they do repairs on the Beis HaMikdash. And while they were doing the repairs, so he got a report back from the Kohen. The Kohen Gadol came and told him, you know, we found a Sefer Torah. And the Chazal say it was a Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And they brought it to him, Yoshiyahu had never seen a Sefer Torah. And it was rolled to the Toichacha in Devarim, where the Pasuk says, Yoylech Hashem Oyscha v'smalkacha el goya shaloyadu, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will send you into Golos, and leaving the Golos, be taken away, will be the king. So he's so worried. This is what's going to happen. And he realized that they had sinned sufficiently to deserve this. And he was so worried. What's going to be? So they said, I need to find out what's going to be. So I need to go to a Navi. So it says that he sent a delegation of Navi. They sent a delegation. And they went to the Navi, to Chulda HaNaviyah. They went to Chulda HaNaviyah in order to find out what will be. The Pasuk says, "V'hi yosheves b'Yishalayim b'mishna." She was sitting in some sort of a seminary for women in Yerushalayim. She was learning there, and he sent this delegation to find out from her what is going to be. So the Chazal asked, that if you look historically at the time of Chulda Nevi'ah, at the time of Yoshua HaMelech, there was another Navi around. There was Yirmiyahu HaNavi, one of the greatest Nevi'im of all time. So why, Gemara asks, why did they send her, why did they send the delegation to find out what his future would be to Chulda Nevi'ah, some almost unheard of, obscure woman prophetess? Why didn't they send to Yirmiyahu HaNavi? He's the one you should go to. He's the leading Navi of the generation. So the Gemara answers, Lefisha Isha Merachemes Yoisimina Ish. Because a woman has got more rachamim than a man. So therefore, he wanted to hear from Chulda Nevi'ah. That's why he sent to Chulda Nevi'ah. Women have more rachamim. What does that mean, women have more rachamim? So what if women have more rachamim? Nevi'ahs is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're having a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who cares who delivers the message? Yeah, if I want to, when I was traveling yesterday down from Manchester, so there was terrible traffic, so you put on your sat-nav, and it has all the up-to-date reports. There's traffic ahead, traffic ahead. So what do? So you switch. There's a thing you can switch to, and you can have a woman's voice speaking. Yes? So if I switch to the woman's voice, is it now going to say, there's not so much traffic, it's not so bad? It's going to be the same. The message, whatever the message is, that's what's going to be. If there's traffic ahead, there's going to be traffic. So if the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a good message for Yoshio, so it's going to be good no matter who gives it, and if it's not going to be good, whoever gives it, it's not going to be good. So what does it help that an Isha is Merachemes? So after she gives you this, you know you're going to die, but don't worry, it's not the end of the world. Well, what's even, that's not going to help. So I heard once from Rav Meir Tzvi Ehrenshoy Zichrono Livracha, as follows, that you see from this that that's not how Nevi'ahs works. The way Nevi'ahs works is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a message, and that message goes down to that person, to that Navi. And that message goes through the person, and it comes out of that person, taking with it a chelek of the personality of that person, of that Navi. And that person's personality affects the prophecy, and affects what's going to be said. And the prophecy, what comes out, the words which are said, that is what really counts. In other words, so therefore, the message can come in one way, and the way it comes out, that's what really matters. And the way it comes out depends on the personality of the person. And it must be like that, because if you look through, you learn Navi, you read Yechezkel, it's written one way, you read Yirmiyahu, it's written one way, Yeshayah, it's written another way. How could it be, if it's all the Divra of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's all the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be written different types of Mishalim, different way of speaking? How could it be? So it must be because each person's personality went into that Nevi'ah, came through the Nevi'ah, and came out with that. And therefore, that's why each person, each Nevi'ah sounded different. So therefore, when Yoshio wanted a prophecy, so if he goes to an Isha, and his Isha's Merachemes, so her personality of having Rachamim will go into the words which come out, and therefore they will come out with that little bit of Nevi'ah. So that's how Nevi'ahs works. And with that, we can understand something. Let's look at Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the two things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Moshe Rabbeinu? Two things. Number one, like we said before, there would never be a Navi amongst Israel as great as him. And the other thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about him was that he was an honor of Mikol Adam. What's the connection between the two? Because with what we're saying, they're intrinsically connected. Because since the way Nevi'ahs works is that it goes through the person and comes out, so Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was an honor, because he made himself so small, so therefore when he went into him and came out, there was so little change because he made so little of himself. Somebody who's haughty and makes something of himself, so when the Nevi'ahs goes through him, it comes out with a lot of him. But because Moshe Rabbeinu was honored Mikol Adam, there was so little of himself. So therefore there was so little to change the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why his Nevi'ahs was greater than everybody else's. Because it was almost pure. Because there was so little of him in the Nevi'ahs. Therefore it was kemat kuloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how Moshe Rabbeinu worked. What about Bilam? So Bilam has a problem. Because can you imagine what would be if the Nevi'ahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through a person like Bilam? How would it come out? Here was the Dvar Hashem going into this person who was mushkas in his midas, mushkas in so many ways. How would those words come out? It would come out so different than what went in that you would hardly be able to recognize the Dvar Hashem Shabbai. It would deviate so much from the original source that there would be nothing left to recognize the Dvar Hashem. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it came to Bilam, he had to operate differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I'm going to make a Novi amongst the nations, and I'm going to have such a person, I cannot have the way that prophecy works working in the standard way. Because if it does, then my message won't come out. That won't be the Dvar Hashem. It'll be something completely different. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change with Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the method of Nevi'us. So therefore what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevi'us through Bilam was such that he made it that it would be totally unaffected by the person. So Bilam's Nevi'us was exceptional in that it had to be different than everybody else's. His prophecy was pure, 100% the Dvar Hashem. Because Hashem made it that it didn't go through him and come out affected. It just went into his mouth and came out again. So therefore the words of Bilam were actually 100% crystal clear the Dvar Hashem. So in that way, that's pshat in Chazal. When Chazal say, when the Mefarshim say that the Nevi'us of Moshe, of Bilam, was even greater than that of Moshe, it doesn't mean, Chas v'Shalom, that Bilam is any way a greater person, Fakeret. It's because of his Prisuskat, because of his lowness, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make his prophecy different, and therefore his prophecy came out 100% crystal clear. Moshe Rabbeinu's was only 99% clear because of his anivus, so there was so little of zich left in the Nevi'us. While with Bilam, it had to be 100% clear, because it totally bypassed the system. It totally bypassed him. And therefore, it was Kulay Dvar Hashem. And that's what it means. That's what it means that Bilam was an even greater Novi than Moshe. I wanted to add, that I heard, beautiful voice from Rameh Tzvi Erentrop. I wanted to add something little on my own to that. When Bilam said, was having this discussion with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bilam really was chalishing to go to curse Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said no, and they had a discussion back and forth. So Hashem said to him, don't go, give them don't curse them, and don't bless them. We don't want your honey, and we don't want your sting. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Don't say anything. I don't want your honey. I don't want your sting. I don't want anything. So I was thinking, what's pshat of all the things to give as a mashal? Why is he speaking? How does a bee come into it? What's with the honey? What's the shaykhus with Bilam? So I was thinking like this. We're told that we have a rule. Yes, makpid on Chol of Yisrael. Why do we have to have Kol of Yisrael, because we're worried that the milk is going to be adulterated with milk from a behema tzmer. There might be milk from a chazir, milk from a chamor. That's why Chazal instituted that you have to have supervised milk to make sure that there was no milk from a non kosher species in it. What's the problem? What's wrong if you have the milk? The milk's not the animal. It's not the meat of the animal. Why is it that you're not allowed to have the milk? The answer is because we have a rule. Kol yotze min ha'aser, aser. Whatever comes out of something which is aser, it too is also aser. So therefore, you can't have the milk from a chamar because it's yotze min ha'aser. So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara Mechayra speaks about how can you eat honey? Honey is also it's a product of a bee. A bee we're not allowed to eat. A bee is an insect. You're not allowed to eat it. It's a flying insect. If you eat it, there's 5, 6 possibly isurim involved in eating it. So therefore, you cannot eat a bee. If you cannot eat a bee, how can we eat the product which comes out of it, which is the honey? So the Gemara says, because the process by which a bee produces honey is different than the process by which animals produce milk. Well, how does an animal produce milk? It ingests, it eats the grass, it digests the grass, it goes through the system. It goes through the system of the animal, and then it comes out eventually as milk. However, when it comes to honey, it works different. What happens with honey is that the animal, the bee, goes around from flower to flower, it collects pollen in a sack, and in that sack where it's collected the pollen, this pollen then turns into honey. But simply by being sort of like in a bag, in a sack, which the bee carries around, in that sack, that's where the chemical change takes place, where the pollen turns into honey. But Gemara says, but it never goes through the system of the bee. It's unaffected by the bee. The bee's not having an effect, and it's not been swallowed and digested by the bee. It's just been picked up by the bee, and while it's inside the sack of the bee, it turns into honey. And that's why you're allowed to have it, because it's not a product of the bee. It's just gone in and come out. So I'm thinking that that's the chayra, the same shot with what we're saying. That's mamash the mashal over here. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Bilam, your nevius is mamash like the honey of the bee. Just like the honey of the bee, that produced by the bee is totally unaffected by the bee. And that's why it's kosher, that's why it's 100% pure, it's purely kosher, it's not affected by the bee. So too your nevius is totally unaffected by you. It's mamash like the dvash, it's mamash like the honey. Vafal pikein, a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, but I don't want it. We don't want your brachas, I don't want your klolos to Klal Yisrael, and I don't want your brachas. But the mashal of the dvash is so beautiful how it fits in, that it's mamash a mashal on how the nevius of Bilam works. So that's pshat in the prophecy of Bilam. How does that apply to us nowadays? Nowadays we don't have nevius anymore. The second mission in Pirkei Avos, it says Shimon HaTzadik, Koy Mishiori Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Shimon HaTzadik was a great tzadik. He was a Kohen Gadol. In his time, all his nisim took place in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was Mishiori Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He's from the Shiraim of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. And about the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, it said, Ubohem Kama Nevi'im. The group of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, who were Mesakin the Tzfilos, Bohem Kama Nevi'im. So he was on the borderline of the Nevi'im. And he was such a, we know the stories of him when Alexander Mukhtar, Alexander the Great, was conquering the world. His next project was to conquer Yerushalayim. And Shimon HaTzadik went out dressed as a Kohen Gadol, in the big day Kohen Gadol. And when Alexander Mukhtar saw him, he got off his horse and bowed down to him. And all his assistants were very upset. How can you bow down to Yid? And he said that a Zumus Duk Noshalzeh, the appearance of this person, comes to me every night before I'm in bed. Before I go to battle, and he tells me going to win the battle. How can I not bow down to him? Shimon HaTzadik is our great HaTzadik. So what does he tell us in the second mission of Pirkei Avos? Al shloisha dvarim olam oimed, al ha-Torah, val avodah, val gemilas chasadim. He tells us the world stands on three things: Torah, avodah, gemilas chasadim. Now, having not seen, if none of us had seen this Mishnah, and we would have been taken, given a handout, and people have to write, on what three things does the world stand? I'm sure most of us could get at least two of them. Two of them for sure. We'd say Torah, Avodah, maybe we wouldn't say Gemilas Chasadim. But it's not such a difficult thing. If anything, the Mishnah sounds like a cliche. Yeah, the world stands on three things: Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. Those are really important things. Is that what Shimon HaTzadik, the great Shimon HaTzadik, that's the message he came to give us? It doesn't seem fitting in somebody who is on Azama Drega that that's what he should be telling us. It's not such a big news that Al Shloisha Dvarim Olam Oimed. So what was the message? So I heard from my Rebbe Ramosha Shapiro's Shlita the following. He says that Pshat is that we know that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, in their times, they asked, at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they came back from the Golas, they realized that Klal Yisrael could no longer take having the Avodah Zarah. They couldn't, the first base of English was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah. There was a whole pattern back and forth. Avodah Zarah, yes. Avodah Zarah, no. And it brought the destruction of the second base of English, of the first base of English. And they said, when it came to the beginning of the second base of English, they said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's the point? It's just going to get destroyed again. Please, Kodesh Baruch Hu, take away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed, and the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah disappeared. But together with that, Chazal tell us, that also went away Nevi'ahs. Yeah? Because there was no Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, so the balance of Bechira had to remain constant, so together with that, went away Nevi'ahs. So therefore, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they were the last who had amongst them Nevi'ahs. After that, there was no longer any prophecy. So we look at the Gemaras, and we find a very interesting thing. We look at the Gemaras, and we see that it always tells us stories about the Tanoim, the Maroim, doing these tremendous, tremendous nisim. Yeah, we have splitting of seas. We have Pinchas ben Yoreh splitting the river three times, and we have people being Mechayim Mesim. We have all sorts of nisim. They seem a dime a dozen. Yeah, the whole time all these nisim taking place in Shas. And yet, when you look in Tanakh, each nes was such a big thing. When Eliyahu was going to die, Elisha said, he had one request. He said, please give me that I should be able to be zeicha twice as much as you. And the Gemara tells us that he wanted to have twice as many nisim that Eliyahu had. And the Gemara counts how many nisim did he have. So each nes was so counted, was so thing, and it was so difficult to have nisim. And yet, when it comes to the Gemara is full of them. How did that happen? So that was the chiddush of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was telling us that from the time on, that till now, the koyach of Nevi'ahs was in the hands of Nevi'ah. And the Nevi'ahs, just like they had this, this connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a shlita over the world. That's why they could do Nisim. But from now on, that's all going to change. So there's not going to be any more Nevi'ahs. So where are those koiches going to come to? Where's that special closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to come? And how will people have this ability to work through nature when things are needed? How could they do nisim? How could they change things? So that was Shimon HaTzadik's chiddush. Al shleish dvarim ha'olam oimid, that from now on, anyone who excels in one of these three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, he will have the same koiches as the Nevi'im had till now. So Al Shleish Dvarim Ha'olam Oimid was that from now on there's going to be a change in the way the world is working. From till now the Shlita was given to the Nevi'im. From now on it will be to those who excel in Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. And you find through Shas that all the times when the Nes is mentioned, it's mentioned by in a situation where somebody was especially great in one of these things, three things. Either they were great, they were great Talmid HaChachamim, or they were Talmid HaChachamim who were doing tremendous chesed. Pinchas ben Yoreh was on the way to Pidyon Shvuim. All these cases where these people didn't get burnt when they went into a fire was because they were just in the process of doing chesed. So when you excel in one of those three things, that's when you have that same koiches, the same ability as a Nevi'ah. So if that's true, then the same levels that you need, the same qualifications that you need in order to be a greater and greater Navi, so too would one need to be greater in these three things in order to have these same koiches. And that's what we mamash find. In other words, when it comes to Torah, the greatness of the Gedolim, those Gedolim who really were head and shoulders above everybody else, and had the koyach to see what was really going on in the world, those were people who were completely and totally mevatel themselves to the Torah. I'll tell you an interesting maaser with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is somebody who was kol kulei Torah. He was totally mevatel himself to the Torah. When about 44 years ago, in July 1969, when man first went to the moon, it was very exciting. The whole world was very excited. I was a kid growing up in Canada, and we couldn't wait till the moment that they would land on the moon, and they would get these rocks, and they would come back with these rocks. It was a very exciting moment. So at the time, somebody went into Rav Moshe And he said, tell me, are they going to find anything? What's going to be? Are they going to find anything there on the moon? Is it going to be significant? So Rav Moshe said, absolutely nothing. So he said, how do you know? He said, because in the entire Torah, he went through in his mind, in Tanakh, in Shas, in Medrashim, Rishonim Achronim, the Gunish Vegan them. He said, there's nothing speaks, it doesn't speak about anything about, we speak about the moon as a thing shining in the sky, they're rare, but Mitzad, the Etzem, the moon, the substance of the moon, or what's there, absolutely Gunish. If it doesn't say anything in the Torah about it, then there's nothing to say. There can't be anything there. And they took through all the space program, they brought something like 350 kilos of rocks back down from the moon. And they were halishing to find some things that they could prove whatever it was they wanted to prove. You don't hear a word from it. All the excitement beforehand, all the money spent, no one speaks about it, except once some rocks were stolen somewhere in Cleveland or something. But other than that, no one speaks about anything of significance which was found on it. So how did Moshe know that? Because he was totally and utterly mevatel himself to the Torah. When a person is totally and utterly mevatel himself to the Torah, so that's like he's been mamayt himself, like a Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who made himself so small. So when people do that, that is the koyach of the gedolim. That is the koyach of the gedolim that they can see, and they have these koyaches because they were given the same koyaches. If they act in the same way as a Navi, so they're given the same koyaches that a Navi has. So, and we find as well, I remember I was for many years in the Kollel of Manchester Rosh Hashiva, he was somebody who was totally mevatel himself to his tefillah. His tefillah by him was everything. When he davened a weekday tefillah, it was far beyond what we can daven on a Yom Kippur. And the many things that I had spoken to about, so many things, you go to ask a bracha, and before the words came out of your mouth, he mamash knew what was happening with that person. Mamash maisim that happened with me, he knew what was happening with that person. That person's already getting a bit. How did he know? Because the same thing, because he was totally and utterly mevatel himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his method of tefillah. In the schus of us accepting and having a munas chachamim, believing that the chachamim really do have these koyches, chachamim who are mevatel themselves to the Torah, and they understand, and they really have this special close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may we be zoicha to see in our days the fulfillment of one of the last words that Bilam Hanavi gave us in his prophecy. He says, "Vayerd mi Yaakov," that there will be one day a descendant from Yaakov, Mashiach, HaMelech Mashiach, who will defeat all the nations around us who have given us Torahs in the past, and maybe Zoyche to see Bimherev made Mashiach to Canaan.